welcome to another edition of On the Money with a certified financial group here on News 96.5 WDBO. It's all part of our Ask the Experts weekend. Great panel for you today. We have Aaron Burch as we back in the studio.
Back in the saddle.
Have not seen him for a while. And yes, today, ladies and gentlemen, it's a good day. It's an exciting day. We all remember when Babe Ruth took his first at bat. We all saw the greatness when Michael Jordan took the court for the first time. Today we have Ronnie Ownby, the newest member of the Certified Financial Group, here today for his first radio show. It's exciting. Morning, Rodney.
Morning.
How are you today?
Excellent.
Are you ready to go?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I was going to say.
We've got to take that first hit, and then the jitters will be gone. Yeah.
Well, that's great. But, yeah, Rodney's great. He's been... Joe, who's not here today, has been giving him a little hard time when he's been off the air learning and training. But yep. He's got all of his resources here. He's still getting ready to go. So, Aaron, I think pretty much we're going to do the same thing we do every Saturday at 9 a.m.
That is right. We are here. Rodney and I are here to answer your questions about anything having to do with your personal finances. We talk about how we work with individuals and corporations, helping them decide the best path to save money for their future, to grow their assets, to grow their resources so that they can enjoy a comfortable retirement once they reach that magical retirement age. In our industry, we see a lot of people who come in who've never taught these things in school. And we like to say they walk in, a lot of them walk in with financial accidents, which is why they end up coming to see us. They go through life trying some of this, some of that, and they just don't know how to put it all together. So Rodney and I spend most of our days actually dealing with individuals, talking to people, doing financial planning, doing asset management, and we are actually here to answer your questions having anything to do with that, having to do with mutual funds, long-term care, Social Security, annuities, life insurance, all that and more. We are here to answer your calls. So if you have a question, you can pick up the phone and call us, or you can text us. The number to call is 844-220-0965, 844-220-0965. We also got the text machine rolling. You can text us at 21232. 21232 is for the text machine, and please limit it to how many characters?
160 characters. That's all we can see. It gets cut off, and then... You know, some people type novels, and we only get half of it, and we can't answer it.
Yeah, we only get half the story, so it doesn't quite work. Yeah.
So, again, 844-220-0965, 844-220-0965. Again, text is 21232, and we'll be ready to get started this morning. It'll be exciting. All right, topic of the day, IRS audit stats for different filers, Schedule C, flow-through, C-Corps, et cetera. Maybe for Rodney.
Hey, so Wednesday was the deadline, so hopefully people who didn't file an extension filed their tax return by Wednesday.
And actually, that's kind of an interesting topic because it wasn't supposed to be Wednesday. It was
supposed to be
Tuesday, and it wasn't Monday because Monday was some weird emancipation holiday is what it was in Washington, D.C., so the post offices were closed on Monday, or Washington, D.C. was in a national holiday or a holiday, so ended up being due on Tuesday, and because they had a crash in the IRS website, taxes actually ended up getting pushed to Wednesday. So go ahead, Roddy.
So with that in mind, we've got some stats from these are actually from individuals for last year. If you look at the overall audit rate for individuals, it was 0.6%, which equates to one out of every 167 tax returns. So it's gone down every year, but that's actually still a fairly high number.
Well, that's one of the scariest things with people filing their taxes. They're always concerned, am I going to get audited? Am I going to get audited? Am I going to get audited? And the realization is that a lot of the IRS is strapped because it's a government agency and their resources are strapped. So how do they make money? Well, they get money from the government and then they also get money by doing audits. Unfortunately, the number of audits that they can do because the population continues to grow, the number of returns continue to go up, continues to shrink and shrink. So 0.6% or one out of every 167 seems like a pretty low chance to me.
Right.
So,
but interestingly, most of those exams are done by mail.
Mail away?
Correspondence exams where they send you a letter and you respond to that letter.
Have you ever gone through an audit?
I have not, and I'm looking for wood to knock on.
All right, well, it sounds like the phones are picking up.
Yeah.
So we'll jump back to the audits here in a second.
Yeah, we'll do that. We've got a couple of phone lines open, but 844-220-0965, 844-220-0965. And we'll start off right here in Orlando today. Talk to Ted. Ted, go ahead. You're on the Certified Financial Group here on WDBO.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. My question is, I have a 401 with my employer as well as a 457. They do not allow us to contribute on the 401. However, on the 457, I am actually maxing it out at 18.5. Can I open an outside, like a traditional IRA, to add more pre-tax of my income? That way I don't get taxed too much.
The question is going to be whether or not it's all based off of income. So depending on how much income you're earning will determine whether or not you're able to continue to do a whether you're able to do a deductible IRA for yourself. Are you married, Ted?
Yes, we're married.
Does your wife
and the wife works as well?
Okay, does she max out her plan at work as well if she has one?
Yes, she has a 403B through her employer, so she's done her 18.5 there. She doesn't have any 457s.
Okay, so she's maxing out hers and you're maxing out yours. That's a good start for the two of you. That's really good. Probably better than, I would say, 99% of the people out there. So it's going to be all based off of income.
Can I open? Yeah, correct. So if I have, let's say I have another $40,000 that I want to kind of like not get taxed and put it as a pre-tax, we're maxing our HSA account. My question is, because my employer does not give me that option, I check with HR, that does not give me that option. They're just contributing a fixed amount, and that's it. We can't put any money into our 401 because
right.
I was trying to get another 18.5 there.
Right.
Can I open an outside one because I don't have that option of contributing to my employer? That's what I'm trying to figure it out.
Right. So the your ability to open a traditional IRA and get a deduction is a function of your income. And because you have a plan at work, and your wife also has a plan at work, you're limited to $121,000 of income in order to get an additional deduction. So I'm assuming because both of you work, you're over $120,000 of income. Is that a true statement?
It's close to 120, but it's somewhere around between that amount. So if it's below 120, after the taxes and all that, like when we file the W-2s, if it's under 120, we qualify for an additional IRA.
You could do a traditional IRA and take the tax deduction. But when you do your taxes, really, your tax preparer, if you're doing TurboTax or something like that, you can plug it in there and it'll tell you whether or not you're going to get a deduction. You can always contribute to a traditional IRA even if you are working and you have a 401k at work. The question is going to be whether or not you get the tax deduction. So if you contribute to the traditional IRA, you're going to make a after-tax contribution to that traditional IRA. The money will grow for you tax-deferred, just like a regular IRA. But when you take the money out, you actually have basis in the account, so not everything is taxable to you when you withdraw it. It gets a little bit more complicated. So
okay, so I could contribute in a traditional IRA as long as I don't go over the 18.5 because I'm under 50 because my employer does not give me that option. I should be okay then.
Well, you can do the 18.5 into your plan at work, and then you can do an additional $5,500 into your traditional IRA. Now, I don't know whether or not you can take the deduction, but you can still put the money into the IRA account. You can do both.
But the pre-tax one, that's my concern. Like, I was told that if the employer has a 401, you could do 18.5 there and an additional 18.5 on the 457.
No.
Because my employer doesn't give me that option. That's what my question was. I know about the Roth. I'm trying to get the pre-tax one.
Right. So,
the after-tax.
So you only have the plan, at work that you can only contribute the 18.5 into what your employer is offering you as the ability to contribute. So you're doing the 18.5
yes.
into the 457. If the 401k you're not able to make contributions to, then you can't make contributions to it. If you want to open a traditional IRA on top of that, you can. But you're going to be limited in your tax deduction based off of your income.
Okay.
So hopefully that helps you. Like I said, you'll figure that out when you do your taxes. If you're doing your own taxes, TurboTax will tell you whether you can get the deduction. Otherwise, you're going to have to go talk to your tax preparer.
Okay. All right, Ted, thanks so much for the phone call. If you want Ted's line, it's 844-220-0965, 844-220-0965. Let's go to Bob over in Indian Atlantic. Bob, you're on the Certified Financial Group this morning.
Hey, yeah, thanks. Yes, I'll be 65 in September, and right now I have an Obamacare policy that will be that is quite a bit cheaper than I will be paying for Medicare, actually. Is it possible to keep my Obamacare until the end of the year without increasing my Medicare premiums?
So you want to go...
Or would my Obamacare not even allow that? I'm not sure.
I don't think Obamacare will allow that. When you turn 65, you're automatically going to be put into Part A, right?
Right.
If you don't pay for. Part B, you're going to need to apply for.
Yes.
And so whether... So the question is, what do you use for a supplement? Now, I don't think the Obamacare plans qualify as supplements.
I don't want to use it for a supplement. I just want to keep it for the last 3 or 4 months of the year, which will probably save me $1,000. My Medicare with a supplement is probably going to cost close to $300 a month. My Obamacare is much cheaper than that right now.
Sure, sure. I do not know the answer to that question. Rodney, any ideas?
No.
Okay, well, we actually have a Medicare expert that we can refer you to if you're interested. Contact our office on Monday, and
okay.
we'll give you a name. You can reach out to him and find out what your options are.
All right, thank you.
Yep, you're very welcome. I appreciate the call. Thanks, Bob.
All right, Bob's line is gone. If you would like Bob's line, it's 844-220-0965, 844-220-0965. We also have a couple of text questions in here, guys. Let's start up here. How would I diversify my 401k with my employer? They do a 6% match.
I would assume that they are talking about diversifying the investment options within the plan. So really it depends. Most 401ks offer what are called most 401ks offer target date funds, which is a fund that's built off of the date you plan to retire. Additionally, they offer a wider range of different mutual funds for you to choose from, and sometimes they offer risk-based portfolios. So, Rodney, if that was you, what would you do within your 401k plan?
Apart from using one of those target date funds?
Yeah, I mean, would you go risk-based, target date, try to pick your own? What would be your strategy there?
I would try to pick my own, I think.
You'd go out there and just try and pick your own portfolio and build out your own portfolio?
Right.
What would you recommend to your clients if they were out there?
Well, just a good diversified mix of investments. You've got, you know, your large cap, your larger companies, mid cap, and small cap, in particular. And most 401k plans have some real estate in there as well, so you'd want to mix that in.
Build out your own portfolio.
Right.
Okay. It's really, I mean, within the 401k, it's tough, because a lot of times it depends on the options that are available. We generally would recommend a target date fund for most people just because it's easier for them to monitor and it's kind of a set it and forget it type strategy. And that's really kind of the direction I would go with a 401k plan if you're working on your own.
Cool. So. All right. Thanks so much, Texter. 21232. We'll have a couple of other texters and a couple of callers right after we get the three big things you need to know. Hey, welcome back. This is On the Money with a Certified Financial Group right here on News 96.5 WDBO. We've got Aaron Burt and Rodney Ownby from the Certified Financial Group live here in the studio taking your phone calls at 844-220-0965. That's 844-220-0965. Got a couple of callers here before we get to the latest news, weather, and traffic, which is just 4 minutes away. So let's go out to Claremont, talk to John. John, you're on with Aaron Burt and Rodney Ownby. Good morning.
What's up, John?
Hey, John.
Good morning. I just won $250,000 on a $5 scratch-off, and
sweet.
I kind of wanted to know what my tax ramifications are. Yeah, I was pretty surprised.
Yeah, so lottery winnings are treated just like ordinary income. So I don't know on that type of ticket if they have the ability to do a lump sum or pay it out over a period of time. My guess is you probably have both options.
No, it's just a scratch off. You just win the $250,000.
You're going to get the lump sum. So that's going to go right to your tax return as ordinary income. So are you, depending on your tax bracket, it could be, $250. Are you married?
Yes.
So you're married, probably file a joint tax return. Married individual,
yes.
So that's automatically going to put you in the 24% tax bracket for 2018. So they're going to withhold at least, I would say 20%. You got to be prepared to pay at least 24% depending on what other income you have. So
they already took 24% out when
okay.
I went to get the check.
Okay. So, depending on your other income, though, you may owe additional income taxes at the end of the year, too. So that's something that you need to consider. Now, the question is, what do you do with the money? Right? So you got this money. You have debt that you need to pay off, or you have a mortgage, or what's your situation?
No debt.
No debt, no mortgage. So this is just found money that you are looking to do something. Do you work currently, John?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So do you have a retirement plan at work?
I have retirement savings, but not at work.
Okay, so you don't have a 401k plan at work or anything like that?
Well, I had other jobs, and I've got a lot of IRAs.
Oh, I'm just trying to think of ways to save you on taxes. So one way to save on taxes is to be putting money into retirement plans. So if you have a retirement plan at work or your wife has a retirement plan at work and you're not maxing those out, this would be the time to be trying to get $24,000. Well, if you're over 50, $24,500 into those plans by the end of the year. That'd save you $50,000 in income, which would reduce your tax rate significantly if you could do it. So,
okay. We don't have 401ks at our jobs.
Okay. Well, then your next thing would be to try to put some money into an IRA for yourselves. It's not going to save you a ton on taxes, but if you're over 50, that's $6,500 each, so $13,000 total would come out of your income.
Okay, great.
I mean, there's lots of different things that you can do to strategize of ways to make that money last to help make your retirement a little bit more secure. If you haven't met with somebody, we'd be happy to meet with you. Or if you have somebody over there in Claremont that you work with, I suggest you call them up and see what you can do to help, have your newfound money last you a little bit longer. So.
Hey, John, one more thing. Just make sure you track your gambling losses too so you can offset some of that income.
Yeah, can you use like all your old tickets as deductions?
Well, within the period, so if it's 2018, you can use your whatever gambling losses you have in 2018. You can use those.
Okay.
So if you bought $250,000 worth of lotto tickets, it would be a wash.
Exactly.
Wow.
Oh, don't do that.
We're not suggesting
don't do that.
That.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Even that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Well, John, congratulations, man. Barbecue at your house later. Kobe beef and all, that's what I'm hearing. No, I'm kidding. John, thanks so much for the call.
We appreciate the call, John.
If you would like John's line, it's 844-220-0965. It's 844-220-0965. We are planning tomorrow.
Today.
With Aaron Burton, Rodney Owen from Certified Financial Group, right here on News 96.5 WDBO. And welcome back. This is On the Money with a Certified Financial Group right here on News 96.5 WDBO. We are taking your phone calls at 844-220-0965 with Aaron Burton, Rodney Owenby, taking all the calls at right here at the radio station and during the week. What's the best number to reach you at, Aaron?
Actually, the best way to find us is to actually go to our website. Our website was just actually relaunched a couple of months ago, so if you haven't been there lately, we suggest you go check it out. Got a new interactive survey in there, and we got all sorts of information on our upcoming workshops. Our website is financialgroup.com. That's financialgroup.com. Or if you don't have access to a computer and just want to call us the old-fashioned way, you can call us at 407-869-9800. Again, 407-869-9800. Or 1-800-EXECUTE if you like you're executing that financial plan. Mm. But just want to plug also while we got a couple seconds here, our website. When you're on there, you can go to our upcoming workshops and learn all about what's coming up here soon. Hosted by Gary Abley, who is also a CFP CPA, and that's a CFP and a CPA. And his up next one is Will Your Savings Last a Lifetime? It's going to be May 5th in our office from 9 to 11. Light refreshments will be served. And then the ever popular healthcare options in retirement, and that one sells out fast. Not that it sells out, but it fills up fast, I should say. But it really, last time I think we had people sitting out in the lobby trying to listen in to what he was trying to say.
Wow.
That one is June 2nd, again, 9 to 11, in our office in Altamont Springs, right there on the corner of Douglas and, 434 right off of I-4. So, financialgroup.com if you want more information, and, that's how you can contact us as well.
Right. If anybody wants to call you during the show, what can they call you about?
Rodney and I are here to talk about anything having to do with personal finances. Talking about basically day in and day out, we do personal financial planning for individuals. And we learn all sorts of stuff about them, about their questions about Social Security and pensions and long-term care and annuities and stocks and bonds and mutual funds and life insurance. All that and more, Rodney and I prepare to answer your questions having to do with any of those things. So if you have a question regarding any of these topics, feel free to pick up the phone and dial
844-220-0965. That's 844-220-0965, just like Peter in Orlando has. Peter, you're up next here on the Certified Financial Group's On the Money. You're on News 96.5 WDBO. Good morning.
Morning, gentlemen.
Hey, Peter. Thanks for hanging on here.
All right, no problem. I am looking to retire next month, and I understand that I'm going to be doing a 75% annuity, and that's with my company. And one of the questions that I asked is, well, I still have to pay into Social Security. They said, no, I will just be responsible for the federal taxes. And then, you know, my pension, including my wife who's disabled, will be my income, which, you know, is going to leave me pretty much at 75% of my current, income. And right now I have enough to do savings, but the big possibility, I'm going to just have enough to do my bills. And not no longer to do the savings, which is not a problem because I have a 457 and I have a 401k that I'm planning to tap into until I'm 66, and then Social Security kicks in, and then I should be pretty comfortable at that time. My concern, though, is with I have currently 100% paid medical insurance. And I found a plan with ACA, and they told me I have to have some concerns with the income that I will be getting this year. And so I already earned so much income,
sure.
And then I'm going to be getting my annuities so that it can balance out at zero.
Sure.
So that kind of scares me in the fact that, well, that's going to kind of try to limit me if I have to tap into my 401k for income, because that shows up as income.
Peter,
so I believe. Yes, sir.
Sorry for cutting you off. I just wanted to ask, how old are you, first of all?
60.
60. Okay. And you're getting ready to set off in retirement. You've been working for the last 35 years. And are you being,
40
you being
years.
Forced out, or are you retiring on your own accord?
No, I'm retiring on my own accord, leaving a little bit early because they're cutting down the workforce to prepare for automation. And so I have some safety concerns if the workforce gets too thin,
sure.
The type of job that I do. I want to be around. You know, my father died at 60, my mother at 67. So I want to enjoy a little bit of retirement. I could be last to 90, who knows. But,
right.
You know, I want to just start doing it because I'm able to do it.
Right.
You know.
Well, your situation is a classic example of the people that we see day in and day out come into our office. When you're talking, I hear you say, "I should, maybe." There's a lot of uncertainty that I hear in your voice because you're not quite sure how it's all going to come out at the end. Right? You've done, from what I can tell, unless you tell me otherwise, it sounds like you've done what we call back of the envelope financial planning. You see the income that you're coming in, you know what your current expenses are going to be, and you think, yeah, I'm going to be okay. Is that a pretty accurate statement?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. You, my friend, need to go sit down and talk with a certified financial planner and do some financial planning. Before you kick off into retirement, you need to know with a high degree of certainty how all this is going to work out for you. That it's not going to blow up on you when you're two, three years into retirement, and that you see that the wheels are falling off because you missed something. This is what Rodney and I do day in and day out for clients. We go through what you're going to get from pension, what you're going to get from Social Security, what assets you currently have. We factor in your expenses and in inflation and taxes, and we do a year-by-year cash flow analysis, and then we stress test it. So again, to come back with a high degree of certainty that when you to go to work for the last day and you walk out of that door that you are going to be okay in retirement. So, my friend, you need to, whether you sit down with us or you go talk to another certified financial planner, you need to do some financial planning. So that would be my number one thing to for you to take away from this conversation, because it's as clear to me as the day is, I don't know.
Days long.
Days long.
And to your point, Peter,
I have one last question.
Of course.
Before you kick me out. So my interest, because of the tax implementations that they're offering, was looking into the medical share group. And I have some reservations about that because it doesn't offer dental. And then the other thing is the dependability of it. Any answers or suggestions for that?
That'd have to be something that would, examining your medical options would have to be something we'd have to look at, dig in to see what you could afford. And, you know, you probably got another question coming up, too, with your pension, of what pension option you should choose. I mean, are you going to take the 100% pension, which is going to give you the most, or the 100% survivor, which is going to give you the least, or the single life pension, which is going to give you the most, or some combination of in between? When you should start Social Security. I mean, there's a lot of things that you need to have examined for you. So feel free to, like I said, go to our website, schedule a no-obligation conversation to come in and talk to one of our financial planners, or find someone in your local area that's a certified financial planner. Sit down with them and have them crunch the numbers to make sure that you're going to be okay. Yeah. So we appreciate the call, Peter.
No, Peter, thanks so much. Peter. Yeah, I think just got to give him the phone number. What am I calling? What is Peter dialing on Monday?
If you want to call our office, our number again is 407-869-9800. Again, 407-869-9800.
All right, I got a lot of questions here at 21232 on the text line. Someone's saying, please talk about Medicare plan advisors. How do I know if I'm dealing with a fiduciary or someone who's trying to get a bigger commission?
Well, we deal with a Medicare plan advisor that we refer a lot of people to, and basically they get paid the same amount no matter what plan that they recommend to you. So the one that we work with, he is a flat level fee guy, and no matter what plan he recommends, he's getting paid the same amount, so which is why we're really comfortable with referring people over to him, because we're comfortable that he's doing what is in your best interest. So, again, if you need a referral, call our office, and we'll be happy to refer you out to them.
All right, another texter writes in at 21232. Have three buckets, 60 years old. Bucket 1 is $150K on a 401. Bucket 2 is $125K on a 457. Bucket 3 is $125K on a Roth. Which bucket do I withdraw from first?
Well, it depends. Yeah.
Yeah,
well, it all depends. So, and just like any financial planning that we do, the answer is most of the time is with that information, and I'm going to say it depends. I mean, to me, the 401 and the, because you're over 59 and a half,
yeah,
the 401
16.
And the 457 are basically the same bucket because they're going to be taxed the exact same as they come out. Those are both pre-tax dollars that when you pull them out, you're going to be taxed at ordinary income tax rates. It depends on whether you're still working, so probably not if he's looking to figure out which bucket to draw from. We do see a lot of times that at that age, it makes sense to be pulling money out of your pre-tax plans, which are the ones that are going to be taxable to you, because they're probably not on Social Security. They're probably in a relatively low tax bracket. And so the impact of pulling money out of those pre-tax plans is going to be pretty low. So,
but that's one of the questions, right? So to the extent his tax bracket may be higher now, then he could start with the Roth.
Yeah, again, it really depends on what his income is, whether he's working, what his other sources of income, or is his wife working? It's kind of a difficult question to answer on the air. I will say when we do financial planning for people, we often recommend that they wait until age 70 to start taking Social Security so that they can maximize those benefits. And they stop working normally probably in their mid-60s. And so we have a gap between, let's say, 65 and 70, where they don't have to take required minimum distributions yet. And they also are not taking their full Social Security yet. So there's a place there where a lot of times they're in a really low income bracket. And if they're in a really low income bracket, there is the opportunity there to do two things. First of all, to do a Roth conversion, to start transferring some of those accounts from pre-tax dollars to after-tax dollars so that they can put money into the Roth in order to have tax-free withdrawals in the future from those accounts while they're still in a low tax bracket. So that'll do two things. It'll create a tax-free bucket for the future and also reduce the required minimum distributions and taxes at age 70 and a half, or just to take money straight out of those plans while they're in a low tax bracket to live off of. So there's a couple opportunities there. Most of the time, the Roths end up being pushed off and inherited on a lot of plans that we do, because those are a lot of times the last.
Because they take the other dollars first.
Right. Those are the last buckets that we end up dipping into.
Okay.
So.
All right, well, thanks, Texter, for that. 21232, if you want to text in your question. Another Texter writes in, how much bonds should I have in retirement? He has 50% bonds and 50% stocks.
Well.
Depends on his risk tolerance, right? His age and lots of variables there. I mean, that's a balanced.
What would be his risk there, right? Tolerance?
Well, risk tolerance is how much. It basically, in our world, we run five portfolios, from conservative to aggressive and three in between. And we try to determine how much volatility, so when you think risk, think volatility, how much volatility can you accept within your portfolio and not hit the panic button? So if you're one of those people that you can't stand to see your portfolio lose $1, then you probably cannot accept being in anything that has any sort of volatility, so you'd be in an extremely conservative portfolio. Or if you're the type of investor who doesn't care about volatility and wants to try and get the maximum return in their portfolio with the most exciting ride, then maybe an aggressive portfolio is right for you. So a 50-50 split is really kind of a moderate portfolio where you have the bonds for downside protection. So if the market does have a hiccup, you're not going down with the market. However, you're not going to go up with the market when the market's roaring. So, but in retirement, a lot of people think they hit retirement and they have to go completely conservative in their portfolio. Most people don't realize is that you got another 20 and 30 years in retirement, and you got to continue to get growth in your portfolio in retirement. Because if you don't continue to get growth in your portfolio, you're going to get eaten up by inflation, and your spending power is going to continue to decrease, and your plan won't work. I mean, with the financial plans that we do, if we put in a 2%, 3% return into the plans,
they don't beat inflation.
Yeah, they don't beat inflation, and you end up, unless you have a huge pot of money as you set out in retirement, you can't afford to just accept a 2 to 3% return, which is why most people need growth, which is why you can't go completely conservative as you approach retirement. But we wouldn't know that without doing some financial planning for you and then stress testing that plan. So.
Okay. All right, well, that's simple enough. Texas 21232. And the phone number to dial up is 844-220-0965, 844-220-0965. If you want to ask the panel of questions coming up on the final segment, so it'll be last chance. Again, 844-220-0965. Time to get three big things you need to know. Welcome back. It is the final segment of On the Money with the Certified Financial Group right here on News 96.5 WDBO. We are 4 minutes away from latest news, weather, and traffic. So right now, let's get back to our busy phone lines here so we have plenty of time to get everybody's questions answered. Let's talk to William in Deltona. William, you're on the Certified Financial Group right here. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. My question is, my wife has a substantial amount of money stashed away in a 401k in both funds, you don't pay, that you pay taxes on later, and some that she's already paid taxes on, and bank accounts. Do I own half of it?
Do you own half of it?
Yeah.
Well, in the 401k, it's in her name alone, right? So it's
no.
Her.
It's her. In both of our names.
Well, no, 401k is an individual account. It's individually titled. So she is the owner of that account, and then within that account, she names beneficiaries. So chances are you're the beneficiary of the account if something were to happen to her.
I am.
But the account is hers. Same with any IRAs. So if you have an individual retirement account, that account would be hers as well, or yours if you have an individual retirement account, an IRA, and then you name
and then you name
beneficiaries on those accounts. Bank accounts all depend on how they're titled. So if it's in her individual name, then the account is hers. If it's a joint name, then both of you are joint owners of those accounts. So it really all depends on titling on this individual particular account.
Yeah, they're joint. But I suspect she has multiple accounts that I may not be on.
That's possible. It really, again, depends on the titling of the accounts and how everything was set up. So But when she starts taking income out of those retirement accounts, the income is going to flow through to both of you and show up on your individual tax return or your joint tax returns, unless you file separately, of course. So the income as it comes out will be joint income. But the account, like I said, she controls the accounts that are in her sole name until such time that something happens to her and they're inherited or passed on to beneficiaries.
I see. All right. Well, thank you.
Yep, you're very welcome. Thanks for the call.
Thanks so much, William. We've got about 2 minutes left. Do you want to get another text question here, or do you want to plug the workshops one more time?
Let's talk about the website real quick, and then so our website, financialgroup.com, was relaunched again about 2 months ago, and if you haven't been on it lately, I suggest you go check it out. We've added all sorts of new features in there, and we have our events and upcoming workshops in there as well, so check out Gary Abley's upcoming workshops. He's got a When Can You Retire workshop coming up in May. And then he's got another healthcare options and retirement coming up in June. That one is, like I said, extremely popular. So if you have the opportunity, go check out our website. You can register for the workshops there. Also, you can get a no-obligation conversation with me or Rodney or one of our other certified financial planners that we have in our office. So you got time for text questions, too?
Let's see here. What's the best way to handle leaving inheritance for my two toddler grandchildren?
Best way to handle leaving inheritance? Well, unfortunately, with grandchildren or toddlers, any inheritance left to them will be under the control of their guardian. The money may be set aside for them specifically, but again, the guardian is going to end up having control over that as the guardian of those toddlers.
But in general terms, a trust is the way to manage that.
Right, and the trustee will then have control over those assets for the benefit of those toddlers. So, yep, you have to go speak to an estate planning attorney.
Okay. All right, well, that's going to do it for this week's edition of On the Money with a Certified Financial Group right here on News 96.5 WDBO. We'll be back here next week where we will continue to plan tomorrow.
Today.
Right here with a Certified Financial Group on News 96.5 WDBO.
This is News 96.5 W.